Today we're being studying in 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is the last chapter of this book. And if you go through 1 Peter, if you've been with us the last month or so, you see how Peter's gone through and talked to each section, so to speak, of the church. And the last chapter, he addresses to the leaders and to the congregation in our relationship to our leaders. And in doing this, Peter goes back in the very beginning of it, and he remembers an episode that he had with Jesus. And this was an episode that the disciples, when they were going to Jerusalem for the last time, they knew something was up. They knew that everything was sort of coming to a head as they entered Jerusalem. And this happened on the road to Jerusalem. Peter and John come up to Jesus and they ask Jesus, "Jesus, will you give us what we ask you?" And he said, "Well, why don't you go ahead and ask?" And so they do. They said, "When you come in your glory, we'd like to be on your right hand and your left hand." And Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. Now, we know at this time they knew about the kingdom. Jesus had been studying with them about the kingdom for 3 years. But they probably didn't understand exactly when he was coming back or how his glory was going to be. But at the end of this, you're going to see that Peter uses this to apply it to the church. And we can see that this is exactly what really Jesus meant when he gave the instructions he gave as how it applies to that way the church is governed and how the leadership in his kingdom would really be. If you look over, this is found in Mark chapter 10. And look at Jesus' reply to the disciples. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 41. When the ten heard this, that is, they heard the request that James and John had made, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Well, we know that is the way the world is. And the way the world is, people seek after power. They seek after those positions of power and honor that goes along with power. And that's really what James and John had asked Jesus for. Now listen to Jesus' answer. And this is really the heart of our lesson today. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Jesus says, my kingdom is different. My kingdom is, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then you learn how to serve. And he uses himself as the example for that. Even as the very Son of Man did not come to be served. And Jesus, as the Son of God, come to this earth, deserved to be served. But he says, I gave myself as a ransom for many. The example he set is what we're going to see that Peter refers back to. Now, referring to this often in the New Testament, when a writer would refer back to the Old Testament, they would do it, they would link it by a word. And if you look at this word in this, the word that kind of stands out, you may not really see it, but if you compare it to what we've just read in 1 Peter, is that idea of lord it over. That's actually one word in the Greek, the word to lord it over somebody, to domineer somebody else. And that's the word that Peter's going to repeat for us in 1 Peter. If you turn back now to 1 Peter, and you can look at what Peter says to the elders, to the leaders of the local church, and the way that he wants them to lead that church. Now, in the first century, all the churches were separate. They were all autonomous. There was no organization of all the churches. Each church was led by its own people, as we try to do today. And that put a great responsibility on the leaders, because they did have the responsibility of the flock or the church that was under their care. And so Peter writes this to instruct that leadership and how the church should be under the leadership of its elders. Now, the first thing to think about is the work of the local church. And sometimes we get a little off base with that. Back in chapter 4, Peter talks about the work of the church. In chapter 4, verse 10, he talks about all the gifts that God has given us for the church. And listen what he says in chapter 4, verse 10. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now, the idea that he brings out is the two basic things he says is that we teach the words of God. In other words, teaching. And the other is that we learn to serve one another. And that goes into the basic of the local congregation. Teaching God's word and serving one another. And that's where we are today as we go through the idea of the leadership and how it actually applies to each one of us as we'll see as we go through the talk of the leadership in the local church. Now, throughout this whole section, and Peter keeps bringing us back to the example of Jesus himself. If you go back to chapter 2, which we studied a few weeks back, he says, "For you were all like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, Peter's going to use those two thoughts, the shepherd and being overseer, to apply it to the local church, to all the leaders, and to the way that we are to be before the Lord, using the example of Jesus. And he takes that example throughout this whole section. If you look over to Hebrews chapter 13, you see the idea of leaders leading by example. Just as Christ led by example, so too we are called to be by example. In chapter 13, verse 7, the Hebrew writer talking about the leaders, he says, "Remember your leaders." Now, that word can also be a guide. And it's the idea that you lead by leading, by being an example. Amen. "Remember your leaders." And now listen to this. "Who spoke you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith." Our leaders are the ones that teach us the word of God, and they live lives that we can imitate. Throughout this whole section of 1 Peter and what's written in Hebrews, the idea is that we should live lives that can be imitated by those. And that's the way that we lead, and even that's the way that we teach. Look over in the final verse he gives us in Hebrews is 17, and it goes into our relationship to our leaders. "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would not be an advantage to you." We need to think about the great calling of being an elder, of being a leader in the church, and that it's not always an easy one, and we need to be under their leadership. Amen. And the idea goes through to imitate their lives. Now, turn back with me to First Peter chapter 5, and notice how Peter introduces the idea of leadership. He says, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's suffering and one who must share in the glory to be revealed." Now notice the way he introduces the idea. This is Peter. He could have come up and said, "I command you to do these things. I'm Peter. I'm the one that was with the Lord." You know, throughout the scriptures it talks about Peter, James, and John, sort of the inner three. Peter said, "I was one that was closest to the Lord. I was the one that Jesus gave the very keys of the kingdom to." You remember the one that's always the most outspoken of all the disciples? When Jesus turns to the disciples and asks them a question, who is it that speaks up? Always Peter. When he asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" The disciples say, "Oh, that you're a great prophet or you're a great teacher." And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" It was Peter that stood up and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of God." And Peter says, "To you I'll give the keys of the kingdom." Now later he gives those keys to all the disciples. But it was Peter that on the day of Pentecost stood up and gave the first gospel sermon to open the kingdom to the world. It was Peter that took that gospel to the Romans, even to the Gentiles, when he taught Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Yeah. It was always Peter that was foremost. And in this section, Peter could say, "I'm Peter, the one that was with Christ, and he gave me the keys of the kingdom. I'm an apostle of Jesus. I tell you these things." But he doesn't do that at all. How does Peter address this? He says, "Peter, as a fellow elder." What he says is, "I'm just like you." He raises these people up to the same level that he was. And he says, "As a fellow elder, as a person just like you, with the same task, the same responsibilities you have, I, Peter, am talking to you just as I would talk to a fellow elder." And he talks about co-witness. He says a witness of the suffering could be a co-witness. And here the witness is, we teach Jesus and Him crucified. And that's what he's talking of this. He's teaching Jesus and Him crucified. We're a fellow elder with you. And then he talks to them about what it means to be a leader in the church. He gives them two warnings. The first one is don't lord it over. And we looked at that. That came from the very teaching of Jesus, where Jesus talked to His disciples about not lording it over anyone. Amen. And it goes into the way that the church is to be ruled. Not with a hierarchy like a political power that we'd have in government or even in business. But we have a leadership that leads by example, that leads with us. If you look over in Acts chapter 15, we have one of the great examples given to us. In Acts chapter 15, the church is just about to split. Paul and Barnabas have been out teaching, and Peter's been out teaching, and they've been teaching the Gentiles. And at that time, the Jews back in Jerusalem said, you know, Christ came to fulfill all those great covenants that God made with Abraham, that He made with David. These were covenants made to Israel. And so to become a Christian, you must need to become an Israelite or a Jew first, and then you can become a Christian. And so in Acts chapter 15, they meet together to discuss that. Now, we looked a few weeks back where the end result was we're saved by faith, not by obeying the law. But I want you to look at this morning how they came to that decision. If you look at verse 6, it says, the apostles and elders met together to consider this question. Now, that's who we'd expect to. These were the apostles that had been with Jesus and the elders of the church. Their leadership, they met together to consider this question. That's the way we'd expect it to be. But now notice verse 12. It says, the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Paul and Barnabas telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Notice now we have the whole assembly there. Now the word assembly normally just translated church. It means that the whole church was together along with the elders and the apostles. It wasn't done in like a back room. It was done all out in the open with everyone there. Look on down to verse 22. It says, then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their men and send them to Antioch to discuss, to give them their decision. The idea again that the whole church was part of the decision. It wasn't the elders and the apostles lording it over the church, just telling them what they decided. But the whole church was together. The whole church came together, and the whole church, it says, decided these things with the leadership of the apostles and the elders. Now look back with me at 1 Peter. Peter gives three charges to the leaders of the church, to the elders. The first one, he says, is be a shepherd, be an overseer. In other words, the first thing Peter says to the leaders is, lead. You have a responsibility to lead the local church. To lead them. As we saw in Hebrews, to be their guide. To be their teacher. Like a shepherd leading the flock. And the very image is of Jesus Himself that gave that call to Peter. If you remember at the crucifixion, Peter denied the Lord. And he actually denied that he ever knew Jesus. At the end of the book of John, Jesus appears to all the disciples, and He appears to Peter. And He sort of what we usually call reinstates Peter as one of the disciples, actually, again, would be the one that would actually carry the gospel. And notice the words of Jesus to Peter at this time. This is a section we've read before, but listen what He says to Peter. He asks Peter, Peter, son of John, do you truly love Me more than these, more than the everyone else in the world, is really what He's saying. And Peter says, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. And Jesus said, feed My lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love Me? He said, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. And Jesus said, take care of My sheep. The third time He said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had said to him a third time, do you love Me? And he said, Lord, You know all things. You know that I love You. And Jesus said, feed My sheep. What was Jesus' command to Peter to show His love? Take care of My people. Feed My sheep. That's the role of an elder. To take care of the sheep of our Lord. To feed those sheep. That's the way that we show our very love for Jesus is by taking care of one another, and especially the leadership as the shepherds of the flock. The next thing that Peter says to us in 1 Peter is that this should be done willingly and with enthusiasm. He says you don't lead because you must, but because you're willing and you're eager. A leader must be enthusiastic. And that's the next command that he gives us. And the last command is one we've already looked at. It's the command to lead by example. Look back again at 1 Peter and notice how Peter says. He says, be eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted, but by being examples to the flock. And truly the leaders lead by being example. And this too goes back to the way that Jesus led and the way that he led his own disciples. You remember when the Last Supper, when Jesus met with his disciples the last time before he was going to the cross. And they're all there and they know everything's kind of coming to a head. And Jesus comes in and he takes off his clothes and he puts a towel around his waist and he gets down on his knees and he washes all of their feet, just like a servant would do. And even Peter tries to tell him, no, Lord, you shouldn't wash my feet. I should wash yours. But Jesus says, Peter, just let's do this. And he does it, and he washes all their feet. And notice what Jesus says to them when he finishes, when he washes their feet. Jesus says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And that's our call, to learn to be servants one with another. First with our leadership that sets that example for us, and each one of us as we serve our Lord and our Savior. Now notice the next short section, and he really addresses it. It says to the young men, but remember that Greek is a male-dominant language. He really is just talking to the young among us. And he says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your cares and your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now, he addresses it to the young, probably because who is it that sometimes has a tendency to second guess what's going on? Where's the young people? And he tells them, as he does all of us, that we need to subject ourselves and humble ourselves to our leaders as we humble ourselves to God. And then he quotes from Proverbs. And he quotes from Proverbs from the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. Throughout the New Testament, most of the writers and Jesus himself normally quoted from what's called the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint was a version of the Old Testament that the Jews had translated roughly 100 years or so before Christ. And it was handed down, and it seems to be the version that they used mostly. Our version of the Old Testament comes from a translation of what we call the Mosaic, or the Hebrew text. And they're usually very similar. And this Proverbs that Peter quotes is a little bit different. He quotes it, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you look in your Bible that most of us have, back to Proverbs 3:34, it was said, God mocks those that mock or scorns those who are scornful. The idea, if you look at both versions, really brings out the idea that those who are proud are those who mock God. And the end result, of course, would be that God will mock them. The idea that we need to be careful not to, in our lives, mock the ways of God. Amen. That not to be so puffed up that we think we have the answers. Remember, we talked a few weeks back that sin is really rebellion against God. It's mocking God. And of course, the proverb brings out the idea that in the final result, those who mock God will be mocked by God. Yes. We need to make sure that we don't mock God in our lives, that we humble ourselves before him. And that starts with being humble to our leadership within the church. And that's where Peter brings us in this section, that we need to think about our relationship, to humble ourselves to our leaders, and in doing so, we humble ourselves before God and even to one another, and to think about our relationship. And he ends it with the idea that God cares for you. With all your anxiety, all the stress, all that happens to you, cast those problems to God, for he truly cares for each and every one of us. This morning, three ideas I like, hopefully, that you can see in this passage. One is that leadership in the church starts with example. Jesus, over and over again, pointed himself, I set an example for you. Our leaders are to set examples for us to imitate. And we as members should set that same kind of example. When we talk about being a Christian, do we think about the example that we set for one another? It should start with our leaders, but it should be for each one of us, that we live a life that can be imitated. And that when somebody imitates our life, they become more like Jesus as we pattern our lives after him. The second idea is the idea of humility, that we are to humbly obey our leaders, humbly humble ourselves before God. The idea of humility maybe not goes with the way the world is today. And we need to think about ourselves. Are we puffed up and mocking God's ways, or are we humbling ourselves before our Lord? And the last one to remember, that God cares for us. God gave his own son for us. And he, as Paul quotes, or if we quote Paul, he who gave his own son for us, will he not along with him give us all things? Remember that God truly cares for you. Amen. This morning, think about your relationship with the Lord. Does he care for you? Are you one of his? Have you put him on in baptism to walk with him? Have you humbled yourself before the hand of God? Or perhaps you started that walk, but you've gone off the path. Why not come back to the Lord this morning? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak.